Father's Day.
To you too.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. I have to say that I'm grateful very much to James for trusting me with the pulpit when he's gone. And I pray that I will never fail him in the discharge of that duty. Father's Day. What do you say about Father's Day? That was my dilemma when I thought about what James was actually asking me to do. When he asked me to preach the fact that he would be away, I was happy to oblige. But then when it dawned on me, this is Father's Day we're talking about. And that's an awesome, awesome responsibility. So today, folks, I don't want this to appear like a sermon, like I'm preaching at you. I just want to talk to you a few moments about some things concerning Father's Day. And before I get to the main part of my message, I just want to discuss a few things with you. You know, when I think about Father's Day, it is an awesome thing. I remember telling my son, Justin, I said, you know, I prayed for you. I prayed and I asked God for a son. He gave me you. Well, you take what you can get. No, seriously. But I did. And God blessed me. Sorry, this is an emotional event for me. God blessed me with two fine sons. And one has since made me a grandfather. And the other is resting today with Jesus. And I grieve for him every day. What I want to mention to you this morning is that as a pastor, I had been asked a number of times by some young men and some older men, Pastor, what do you think that I could possibly do to make my child's life something special? What can I do to make them feel important or needed? And I have to confess to you this morning, folks, that as a young pastor and a pretty recent father myself, I didn't have a whole lot of answers. But over the years, God has exposed me to a number of things and kind of filled in those blanks for me. And I just want to share with you this morning some of those thoughts, some of those experiences that God has shared with me. And I just want to mention, and I think it would be a good idea to maybe take some notes. And again, folks, I say this to you not because I think I'm a great preacher, but because God has some important things that he wants to share with us this morning. So the first thing, first of all, do you have any idea that in this culture, in this Western culture of ours, particularly in North America, we've got it wrong? We've got it all wrong. We've got it all backwards. You see, we are a matriarchal society. Moms are raising the kids. Moms are doing everything with our kids. But if you will turn over with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 4 with me there, would you please? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And what something I want to say prelude to this is that it's been far too long since I've been in an English class, but there is something that we used to learn in English. It's a what they call an English device, if you will. It's a device, and I cannot remember the exact name. But that device is a little term called "you understood." And it appears in the sentence, but it refers back to the subject of the sentence. And I want you to look with me, please, at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "And you, fathers..." And here's where I want us to employ that little device. "That you understood" should appear right after "fathers." "And you, fathers, you do not provoke your children to wrath, but you bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You see, God, it was God's intention, it was God's purpose that the fathers should be the ones raising the children. Now, when I say raising the children, I'm talking about in terms of their life, taking over their life, leading them, guiding them, instructing them. It was the father's duty, not the mother's. The mothers were to be encouragers. The mothers were to be to the ones offering the love and all the support. But it was the fathers who were originally intended by God to give our kids instruction and to raise them in the admonition, in the knowledge of the Lord. We used to believe this, folks. Let me just see if I can remind you real quickly here. How many remember old TV shows like Leave It to Beaver and some of the others, the old family shows, right? When a child got into a problem, what was the first thing that was said to that child, usually by the mother? "Young man, young lady, you wait until your father gets home." See, we understood. It was the father who was not only the one to bring instruction and that into the home, but also the father was responsible for discipline. But folks, we blew it. We fathers blew it. We didn't want that responsibility. Now, I hear you. I understand. Yeah, but fathers have to work. Yes, fathers have to work, but still, it was God's intention that the father be the disciplinarian, that the father be the one to guide, to raise, and instruct the child in the home. But we've abandoned that. Should it be any wonder when we look at our society today, should it be any wonder to us that the women despise their husbands? That women talk poorly about their husbands? Because where are they? Where are we? We're not always there. Sometimes we run off. We're scared of the responsibility ourselves. So what's the easiest thing to do? Well, let the wife take care of it. Let mom handle this issue, or let mom deal with that. And we have let down our families, our wives, the child's mothers, the children themselves, because we have abandoned the position that God had directed was to be our responsibility. Well, I just want you to think about that for a moment as I bring to your mind some other things. To get back on what I mentioned before, when these men would ask me, "Pastor, what do you think? What do you think is something that we could do as dads to make our children's life more purposeful?" And as I said, I didn't have the answers back then. But over the years, the observation of life itself, the experience that I've had myself, God has given me a few points I want to share with you. Number one, fathers, dads, love your kids. And I mean love them. Love them. Love them. I want to tell you, I've been thinking recently, and it was because I was researching this message. Look at the kids in the world around us today. They're when you look at them, they look like they've been beat down. Do you know what our kids hear most of all? Why are you this way? Why do you have to be like that? What makes you this way? I didn't raise you that way. Our kids hear so much negative. It's unbelievable. And what our kids need to hear is, I love you. I love you. I wasn't a perfect kid, and I know it. I can tell you, my dad went through some stuff with me. I was nothing near a perfect kid, but my dad loved me. He corrected me when he needed to. He disciplined me quite strictly when he needed to. But my dad never stopped loving me, and I knew it. I knew it. Love your kids. There is nothing greater than you can do than to love your children and let them know that you love them. Don't be afraid. My 41-year-old son still gets a hug from me, and he gives me a great big hug. Let them know that you love them. Let them know how important they are to you. Secondly, love that child's mother. Love your wife. You see, back in Ephesians, it tells you, husbands, love your wives. Listen, I can't quote any figures to you today, so I won't try. But I want to tell you this. As a former pastor and as a husband in the home and as a man in general, I can tell you this from observation. You look at a kid that is raised in a house where the father and mother love each other. It's a two-parent home, and they love each other. And they demonstrate that love in front of that child. That child grows up with a more solid foundation than anybody else. Why? Because they can see a demonstration of love. Think about being a child growing up in a home. And you're going through life, you're experiencing life, and you're having problems and difficulties yourself. And you're in a home where maybe there is a father and mother, but they don't get along. They're constantly arguing. So as a child, when you have a problem and you need an answer, who do you go to? Well, if I go to Dad, Mom might get mad at me because I'm speaking with Dad. If I go to Mom, Dad'll just get mad and walk out. It's a horrible existence for a child. Love your kids, but love that child's mother. Love your wife, or even if it's not your wife, love her. Let the child see the love that you have for each other so they have something to grab onto. They have some semblance of security, of peace. It's the most important foundation in a child's life, is to understand that the greatest feeling you could have is that my mom and my dad, they love each other. Now, my parents weren't perfect, and they had their arguments, they had their times, but I knew that my dad loved my mom. There was never any question. And that was a perfect example that he gave to me. Love your wives. Love that child's mother. Thirdly, well, it should be first. I've messed this up. This should be first. Tell your child about God. Oh, I'm not talking about book knowledge here. I'm not telling you, oh, tell your child that God is the author of the universe. He's the great creator. No, that's book knowledge. And they will learn that, and you should tell them that too. But what I'm telling you is, tell them about God. Tell them who God is to you. Tell them what God's done for you in your life. Tell them about the times that God has been there for you and how he's helped you. They need to hear this, folks. And the reason they need to hear it is because in their life, they're going to encounter many difficulties themselves. And what's going to be more important is that they can have a recollection and say to themselves, you know, I remember God, Dad telling me that he had this problem one time, or he had a similar problem, and he prayed about it, and God met him in that need and took care of that issue. Tell them about God. Tell them what he means to you and how important it is to have a relationship with him. And what a great father God himself is. The last thing I want to mention to you in this preliminary is this. Pray with your kids. Pray with your kids. Pray for your kids. What is better than to kneel down with your child when that child, instead of saying, hey, go say your prayers, than to kneel down with the child and give an example of what it means to pray? Show them what it means, who to pray for, praying for your family, praying for your friends, praying about your situation, whether it be school or some other thing. But pray with your kids. Pray for your kids. Pray about their school situation. Pray about all the pressures that kids have to face today growing up. Kids need to know, what better thing for a child to hear their father or their mother or both praying for them right there in front of them, praying for their benefit, that they will be blessed, that God will use them in a mighty way, that God will meet them in their needs, and God will be there anytime they need him. Let your kids hear you pray for them. For them. And the last thing I want to say in this prayer thing, I want you to turn over with me, please, to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 2 through 12. Judges 13, 2 through 12. The last part of this thing I wanted to say about prayer is, ever thought about praying about your kids? About your kids. We're going to see an example here from Manoah, the father of Samson. So look with me, please, if you will, at chapter 13 of Judges, beginning verse 2. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore conceive and bear a son. Now therefore please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So the woman came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God, very awesome. But I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. And he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now drink no wine nor similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his birth. Day of his death, sorry. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, look, the man came to me the other day, has now just appeared to me again. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. And when he came to the man, he said to him, are you the man who spoke this to the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now that your words come to pass, what will be the boy's rule of life and his work? Have you ever thought? Have you ever given a thought to praying about your kids, about what purpose God has for your child's life? You know, I thought about this when I was studying this, and I thought, I've never done that. I've never done that. And then I thought, well, if I did do it, would God tell me, hey, your son's going to be a famous mechanic? And I don't know that God would do that, but let me just bring two things to mind to you. God told Mary through the angel Gabriel that Jesus was going to be born and what Jesus' purpose was in his birth and in his death. He revealed Jesus' purpose to Mary. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was told by the angel his son would be born, and his purpose was to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. Something tells me, folks, God is very willing to share with us a reason and a purpose for our kids' life. Now, I'm not telling you that God would be that specific or that, you know, purposeful with us, but here's what I do believe. If we were to get down on our knees and seek God's face about the purpose God has, and let me remind you here, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God says, I know the purpose, the plans I have for you. Well, if God's got a purpose and a plan, and we read that as, oh yeah, God's got a purpose and a plan for my life, but guess what? He's also got a purpose and a plan for your wife's life, for your son's life, for your daughter's life. They haven't escaped. He's got a purpose and a plan for their life as well. Now, do you think that God would have a purpose and a plan for their life and not be willing to share it with us? I think that is highly unlikely, folks. I really do. So what might God reveal to us in terms of asking God to help us prepare our child for life? And that's what this whole thing is about. Seeking God's face to prepare our child for life. This is what I think we might find out. God may not see, well, you know, he's going to work at Walmart for, But I do highly think that God would share with us, I have put thus and such talents and abilities and capabilities into your son's life or into your daughter's life. Encourage them. Encourage them to use the talents and abilities that I have given them. And I think that's a great thing. And I thought about that and I thought, you know, have I ever encouraged my boys Well, I happen to remember. I didn't necessarily get specific with him, but I remember telling both my sons, you know, guys, whatever you set your heart to do, whatever you really feel in your heart and set your heart and your purpose on doing, you can achieve. And you've heard me say it before, I'm proud of my son who is a chef who had not one day of formal training. Everything he does, he taught himself how to do. Everything he knows, he taught himself how to know. My part was just an encourage. I saw the talents and abilities that he had from the beginning, and my son Andrew as well. And while I may not have spoken individually to those talents and abilities, it was my purpose to encourage them to be the best, to do the best they could do. Set your mind on it. And if you set your mind on it, you can achieve it. Our kids need encouragement. Our kids need encouragement. They have talents. They have abilities that God has built into their lives. And it's our responsibility to identify those talents and abilities in our kids and encourage them in that. And encourage them positively to pursue the things that God has built into their lives. You know, folks, as I'm winding this up, I just want to bring something to your mind. I recognize, first of all, that today maybe there are a few fathers in here. But there are fathers, there are grandfathers, and there are men. And you may say to me, well, look, I don't have a son, I don't have a daughter, I'm not a father. But let me ask you something. If you are a man of God, can you be an encourager? I want to go back to something I said earlier. Look at the faces of the children in our world today, your neighbors, the school kids. Look at the faces. They look like they've been beat down. They need to be encouraged. They need to hear positive things. And if you're just a man, maybe you don't have a child of your own. Could it do any harm, do any damage when you see your neighbor's son out there cutting the grass to say, hey, you know, I've been watching you. You'd do a great job cutting that grass. Let them hear something positive. You don't have to be a dad. You don't have to have direct responsibility with them, but you can say something positive. You can be a positive influence in that person's life. And I think that's so important. You know, we may have missed the mark as far as being responsible dads along the way, but it doesn't mean we have to continue that way. We can turn things around. I want to ask you a question, and I want you to think for a moment. Just think. That's all I want you to do. When Manoah prayed, he prayed about his son, and he said, what's his purpose? What do you think would occur in your son, your daughter's life, or in the lives of the kids around us if they grew up feeling like, hey, I've got a sense of purpose. I've got a destiny. There's something I'm meant to do. Do you think it would affect their life at all? I think it would. You're growing up with a sense of purpose and a sense of identity and sense of knowing, hey, there's something that I am able to do and I'm going to set my sights on doing it. I think it would make a great deal of difference. So what's the harm for us to say to our kids, to other kids, you do that well. You do that very well. I think you should do more of that. Or maybe just hey, have you thought about trying this? You know, I've noticed that you have, like my son, had a great talent for, my car broke down twice. And those two times, he took the broken part out of my car without any training. He just went and did it. When you see them do things and do it well, encourage them in it. They don't even have to be your kids. But be willing to encourage them in it. Let them hear some positive things for a change. I think our world would be a different place if we were more positive with our kids. I really do. I really do. Give them a sense of purpose. Give them a sense of destiny. Let them know that God has given them certain talents and abilities and seek to pursue them and then use them. And I think it'll make a great deal of difference in their lives. As I close this morning, I've been saying some things to fathers and men. We have a few young people here, and I'd just like to ask for your attention just for a minute. I know this is Father's Day, but there's something I want to say to you, too, and that's this. I don't know what your relationship is with your dad. I pray it's a good one. And I pray that God will continue to keep things that way. But I know that fathers and kids have struggled many times, as I've had with my own sons. But please keep this in mind. Your dad's not a perfect man. He's a good dad, and I'm glad and I'm proud, but he's not a perfect man. He makes mistakes. He's made mistakes in the past, and he's aware of it. But your dad, remember this, your dad's been around a lot longer than you have. And he's fought many more battles. And even your young life, I know you have battles at school and everything else, but he's had many more battles to face and overcome in his life. Give him a break. You want to be understood. You want to be listened to. You want to people to understand you and have compassion on you when you're going through your difficulties, right? Have compassion and understanding on your dad. Give him a break. It's not an easy thing to be a dad today. So what I'm saying is, dads, kids, love each other. Treat each other with love and compassion and understanding. Hug each other and tell each other that you love them. You love each other. And never let that go. Remember, we are rebellious children ourselves in front of a holy God, and yet he loves us. He's willing to forgive us. And he will do anything for us. And I thank him for it. That's it, folks. That's the message this morning. But I pray you'll take some of these things home and think on them. And just thank God for his being the best father ever. Thank God for the privilege of being a father, if he's given you that privilege. And thank God that you have an opportunity to help shape your kid's life and make it a good one, a happy one, a joyful one, if you only do it with a positive attitude. in an attitude of love and forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, what can I say except thank you? Thank you for being the most loving Heavenly Father. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for your kindness with me. And I remember the words of the song we just sang in the chorus. You have been so, so faithful to me. So good. What more can I say than my Heavenly Father has been faithful and good to me? And I love you. And Lord, I pray that that would be our heart's attitude this morning, that we love you, Lord, for all you are and all you've been to us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I just want to thank you all for being here this morning.